don't buy a man a fish, teach him how to fish. Like, you give back by giving them the opportunity to be an active part of society. You know, many of us have passports of the country, and when you're born in a camp, everybody's forgotten about you, in a way.
You're listening to Seeking Refuge, a podcast sharing the human stories of refugees. Our guest for today is Asiel, the manager of SEP's boutique in Berlin. SEP stands for Social Enterprise Project and is a luxury brand whose embroidery is done by women in the Gaza refugee camp. Your hosts for today are Shireen Carr and Emily Jensen.
My name is Asiel. I am the boutique manager at the shop here in Berlin. I've had this job for a little over a year now, and I'm very happy to share with you the SEP story. Actually, we call it SEP, and SEP is short for Social Enterprise Project. It was created or founded in 2013 by an Italian couple, Roberta Ventura and her husband Stefano. And yeah, it's like a luxury lifestyle brand that has a social impact focus. All the pieces we have are hand embroidered by embroidery artists, and these artists just happen to be refugees.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Thank you so much. So you talk a little bit about how SEP was started. Could you talk a little also about how it kind of impacted socially?
Well, actually, it was the first private company to set up in Jerich Camp in Jordan. And, you know, in the beginning, how it impacted these people is a really great story, because as a refugee, you are uprooted from your home, your job, your school, you know, and you have to start from scratch somewhere else, somewhere new. And as much as anybody goes through change, it's difficult. In the refugee's case, it's really psychologically very challenging. So 80% actually were diagnosed with clinical depression when we first met with the women at the camp. And this project has brought, like, there was clearly a need, because as a refugee and relying on aid, it takes away from your dignity a little. And so when Roberta met with the women at the camp, who had been already embroidering and not selling any of their own pieces, the question was, what do you need? How can we help? And everybody said, we need to work. We need, you know, to be busy. We need to work to be an active member of community and society, of course. And so that's how the project actually started. Like, that's where we started. We listened and we went to work.
That's really beautiful. Could you talk a bit about the refugees that you work with and like their experiences? And I know you kind of touched on this, but more directly, like how creating these clothing items has empowered and impacted them, and potentially like any stories that may have stuck out to you.
There are a lot of stories, but like the art of embroidery, hand embroidery, is embedded in their heritage and culture as a craftsmanship. Like they did it, like you see your grandma sitting and, you know, embroidering a canvas or a piece. So that's the thing. There are, in fact, women with talent. They just happen to be refugees under these circumstances. And like one of the stories is the UNHCR, during the Syrian crisis, was working also with Syrian women, the refugees, and they had asked SEP if they could join our SEP house in the camp and work with our artists. And so we said we have to ask the women first, because this is going to affect them. And this was like actually in the beginning of this whole project. It was the first couple of years, so there wasn't a lot of work to go around. And so we asked the women at the camp, and they were thrilled. They were like, yes, of course, we want to do anything to help them. Yes, bring them, we'll teach them, and we will help them, of course. So that's the kind of women And we learn a lot from these women really every day.
That's really powerful. Thank you. Yeah.
Another story, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. Another story is a woman at the camp had 6 kids and was divorced. She was interviewed for more of a managerial position at the SEP house at the camp. And she represented a lot of great qualities, attention to details and focus, and also eagerness to, you know, work. So, you know, from the interview, she was a great candidate for this position. On the other hand, she had 6 kids and was divorced in a camp and had no idea how she's going to care for all of this. And with this opportunity being presented to her, really, really, she turned her life around. It is like 2 of her kids are now married and 2 at the university. And she just turned her life around like 180. And this really, when you give a person, like, I don't know if you are aware of this story. It's like, don't buy a man a fish, teach him how to fish. Like, you give back by giving them the opportunity to be an active part of society. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a beautiful statement that I've like never heard before, but definitely like I see this voice. And so so another question we have, part of your mission says that you wish to change how refugees are perceived worldwide. Could you talk a little bit about how you think refugees are perceived currently, and how the actions of your company are working to change that?
Yeah, that's a very good question. You know, many of us have passport country. And when you're born in a camp, everybody's forgotten about you, in a way. That's the thing. The common perspective is that we put them away at camps and hoping they're not going to make any trouble. You know what I mean? And so we've been changing that through our clients, really. Every artist actually signs the piece she hand embroidered. Her name is on the tag. And so we read it with our clients. And that moment, she is a woman with great talent and not a refugee. You know what I mean? So we are working towards changing the perception of refugees by connecting the camp world with the buyer world, you know?
That's amazing. So one essential part of your brand seems to be hand embroidery. And I'm curious, I know you touched on it being a big part of their culture, but did all of these women already have this training? Do y'all provide extra training? Just more about that, like, skill process and how y'all work with them through that.
Sure. Actually, the women, the majority of the women in the camp are refugees from Palestine. And so it's, like I said already, like, it is embedded in the culture and in their heritage, this art of embroidery. So they have already been doing that for years. And we just, you know, took their talent and what they can do and turned it into this opportunity for them. As for Syrian refugees, they were taught by the Palestinians how to embroider. We have SEP Academy, where they can also work to improve their talents. And because the women, they embroider on cashmere. And can I just grab a piece and show you? Yeah? Just to show, like, the level of talent. So this is cashmere. And this is the embroidery, yeah? And from the back, you can see that it's hand embroidered. It's not a machine. And not one loose thread, not one hole in this whole piece. And people are amazed, like, how can they do this on cashmere? Like, hand embroider cashmere. And so there are always ways to improve on your, even if you're talented, you need to work hard to, you know, improve it. And that's what they do at the academy, and also teach other women how to hand embroider. Absolutely. And now the kids want to get in on it too. Yeah.
This is a little bit off script, but I'm just curious. Does that pattern like have a specific meaning? Because I know in Palestinian culture, a lot of like the embroidery, I think I could be using this word wrong, but the threes is
a big part. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. So could you talk a little about like the patterns?
This pattern. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So actually this is called Sinad, this pattern. It's a biblical bold floral pattern, actually, which is a balance of femininity and neutral geometries, creating a bold contemporary statement. And this comes from actually the movie that was Mary Magdalena, where Sepp had collaborated with the filmmakers to hand embroider all of the costumes of the actors and actresses. They hand embroidered all the pieces they were wearing in that movie. So that was also part of the patterns that were used.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah.
So in your 2024 social impact report, you include a quote that reads, quote, "Every time you spend money, you're casting a vote for the kind of world you want," end quote. And I thought that was really true and really powerful. So could you talk a little bit about what that means to you and how that guides your business?
Yeah, absolutely. So we have a vision as a brand that people should think a little before they buy something, like give it a little thought. And, you know, after World War II, where the economy was booming and a lot of jobs were available and everybody was earning money, spending money and showing money, you know, pure capitalism. And what we are working towards is more of a conscious capitalism. You know, it's more like consciously buying habits, let's say. Yeah, that's what it means to us, like to be more conscious. So when you're buying a piece from here, you're being conscious about the impact you are contributing to the well-being of another human being, really.
That's so true. And that's really amazing. Like,
thank you.
Thought. So as a clothing brand with a focus on humanitarianism, what role do you think fashion plays in activism and in making social reform?
Well, I have to tell you, it's a brand decision to stay away from politics. What we focus on is women empowerment, preserving heritage and craftsmanship. That is what is our focus, and that's what we work on, really. Yeah, but it's also a part, like social reform is part of it as well, like because the social status of these women and their families is impacted by this project positively. Alhamdulillah, yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. And this is kind of like an optional question, but also maybe a personal question. How impactful do you think it is to see articles such as the Kifa? I'm probably mispronouncing that. Sorry. The Kifa, the Palestinian scarf. Kafia.
The Kafia.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah, I was like, I know I'm saying you're wrong. Kafia.
Yeah.
So how impactful do you think it is to see articles such as the Kafia at protests and rallies?
Well, you know, the Kafia has been associated with Palestinian nationalism and Palestinian solidarity since the late 1930s, actually. And now I see it myself personally as a sign of hope, really, a sign of where you're standing, your position in this life as a human being, like it's a sign of hope, really. That's how I see it.
I think that's really beautiful. Yeah. So SEP aims to follow the global sustainable goals, focusing on SDG number 1, which is no poverty, SDG number 3, which is good health and well-being, as well as SDG 10, which is reduced inequalities. In what ways has your organization committed to implementing these?
Actually, that's a funny coincidence, because SEP was set up at the camp in 2013. It was founded in 2014, right? So a year later, the UN General Assembly set those sustainable development goals. And during that year, we had already been achieving those goals in our, like, it's part of, it was already adopted as part of our business model, even before it was set at the UN General. It's just a funny coincidence. Like, everything we were doing already for a year had already been in that direction. And as I've touched on so many stories, you can tell from the way this, it started, it's called a project because it started as a project and we kept it that way, like in the name. Because you never know, like when you start something, you never know where it's going. And so, yeah, it's just a funny coincidence. And we are, of course, working more and more towards achieving more of these SDGs. And to be honest, during the UN General Assembly, they said by 2030 that they want to achieve all of the these SDGs. And I think we're still far, far away from that.
Yeah, but it's amazing to see like groups like yours who have been working towards these things before it being stated as a global goal.
I agree with you. Because I'm also like proud to be part of this project, you know. It wasn't my idea, but I'm just proud to be part of it because, yeah, it's just brilliant.
In your website, you have information on what places and ideas have inspired which patterns.
Yeah.
And could you talk a little bit about why the meaning behind the patterns are so important to SCP?
Yeah, of course. Well, actually, the patterns, most of them are from Palestinian heritage and some from Islamic geometry and also some biblical patterns. And to be honest, these patterns are chosen by the artists themselves. It is how they connect, with their roots and, you know, and it brings them closer to home. Like, those are the main patterns that we actually work on embroidering and train embroidery artists to, yeah. Because it's what means a lot to them that, you know, they decide.
Yeah, I think seeing, like, I guess, patterns and symbols that are tied to your culture is really empowering, especially, like, when you wear them. At least for me, like, absolutely. It makes me feel, yeah, it makes me feel good about myself. And I feel like absolutely in touch with my roots. So I completely understand that. So, okay. So this is more of an optional question. We can edit it out if you want to, and you don't have to answer it because it is a sensitive topic, obviously. But with the atrocities being committed in Palestine right now, I wanted to know if you have been able to keep in touch with the artists that are in Palestine currently or have been tracking the safety of the, I could be mispronouncing, the Jerash refugee camp?
Jerash.
Okay. Yeah. Jerash. Just if you've been tracking the safety of the Jerash refugee camp.
Actually, it's locally called Gaza camp. Most of the refugees there are from Gaza. So they have family in Gaza during this time, and they have lost many family members during this. And honestly, they, of course, like, they were full of fear, and it brought back their own trauma from when they were displaced in 1967. And they really, like, it was a horrible time for them, of course, for all of us, and but especially that they already have family there. And so they found themselves being grateful that they are busy and have work to do. And that's where we kind of came in, because they were asking for more work and to get busy. And also, like, the art of embroidery, actually hand embroidery, is kind of therapeutic and meditative, because it's about also the technique they use is cross stitching, which is like the, you know, with a cross. And it's about counting, you know. So really the process of hand embroidery is also very meditative and therapeutic. And I think they were grateful that they were able, that they have a job and they were busy too, like during this time. And even, yeah, like, God be with them. God be with all of us during this time.
Absolutely. As a follow-up question, how has your organization itself been impacted by just the what's going on in Palestine right now? Like, has that, have you seen, for example, an increase in sales and with people like trying to support these women, these refugee women, or have you not noticed that?
I have to tell you, and since I also work at the boutique in Berlin, and many customers actually walk in and ask me, did anyone like bother you, or like, you know, or were you attacked in any way or harassed in any way? And all we saw was support, really. I'm very proud to say that all we saw is support. On the other hand, at the camp, one of our artists is actually has went to Gaza to visit her mom with her kids, and she's still stuck there. And her husband is at the camp. So for us also, this impact of what's happening is very direct, and the empathy is real.
Thank you for sharing about that. That's really touching. So is there anything else that you would like to share with our audience, or just that you would like to say about SEP and what y'all do?
Maybe, yeah, just a little. Honestly, since we just talked about what's happening in Gaza, like I want to talk about how what happened with me. Like, of course, the first 2-3 months curled up in a couch crying, watching the news the whole time, scrolling my phone. And walking in here, it gave me this sense of purpose, this sense of hope. And I'm not just saying it, really, it means a lot to me to be part of a social, how do you say it? Like, not, it's not an organization, but just that what I do, whatever small part I have, it is eventually impacting another human being in a boat. And I didn't even seek out this job. It just through a friend who told me about it. And then I actually learned about Seven and fell in love with the whole concept and everything. So working here really, for me too, was therapeutic, is you come in here and you know you're helping another human being by being here. And these people are also from Gaza, and also were refugees at one point, and were out of their homes. And it's just all connected, you know. Thank you so much for having me. I want to thank you too for your time and for contacting me and for having me. And I hope your listeners and viewers will enjoy this episode and will look us up.
Yeah, thank you so much. This was an awesome conversation. I feel like I learned a lot, not just about you guys, but I guess the power of clothes and keeping a culture alive and keeping something so important, I guess, alive, you know? Yeah. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you too.
That was Asil talking about SEP's social impact on either side of their business plan, the responsibility of conscientious business, as well as the impact that SEP has made on individuals. If you liked this episode, be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and review us in the comments below. If you'd like to get in touch with us, email us at seekingrefugepodcast@gmail.com or at our University of South Carolina email address, sosrpa@mailbox.sc.edu. You can find us on social media at Refuge Podcast on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. This show is produced by undergraduate students at the University of South Carolina. Your hosts for this week were Shireen Carr and Emily Jensen. This episode was edited by Claire Mattis and produced by Caroline Buckner. Our executive producers are Claire Mattis and Victoria Halsey. As always, thank you so much for listening, and we'll see you in the next one.